Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Welcome back, my friends, once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 69 for November the 4th, 2014. I'm your host, Jack, and I'm going to help guide you through this magical world of servers, networks, switches, fiber, and all things connected. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here. Check out all the great tech shows at techpodcast.com. Folks, I have an announcement this week. It's a huge announcement. Well, at least I think it's huge. Something I just found out about this past weekend. Thanks to Leo Laporte mentioning this on the air. I believe it was on Twit. He talked about this. And they were talking about Stitcher at stitcher.com. Now, if you're not familiar with Stitcher, Stitcher is a place where that hosts podcasts, not just tech podcasts. Like the techpodcast.com, you know, that's where you go for all those great tech shows. But Stitcher.com has many, many great shows where you can pick up this show and many others, many different types of podcasts. It's actually deemed a podcast radio show or radio app. It's pretty cool, and I was playing with it, and I got this show actually listed now on Stitcher.com. You can download the app for your smartphone, and it's either for the iPhone or for the Android phone. So you'll be happy you did, because you know what? There's a ton of stuff on there. I've been talking the past few weeks, past couple months actually, about if you have an interest in the live Windows Server course that I will be hosting soon, please email me. Right now I have a list of 8 folks who I emailed today, and I said, look, we're getting ready to go underway here. We're getting ready to go live with the course. So I have the course outlined and almost completed. I want to make sure that you can get the most bang for your buck for this show, or for this course. In a live course, I was actually talking to my partner today, and he said, well, Jack, how does a live course differ from a podcast or differ from the YouTube videos that I create? Well, the live course will be a place, a WebEx, every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the WebEx allows you to do many things. It allows you to raise your hand if you have a question. It allows you, if you have a mic, hopefully you have a microphone on your computer or headset. Doesn't have to be anything extravagant as I have for the podcast studio here, but it could just be something as a USB microphone, but just a way where I can turn your audio on and you can ask your question live, and then we can look at it. We can discuss it in the class. So I want to make this as close to sitting in a classroom as possible, but you're sitting at your home, I'm sitting at my home, and we can all just work together on this course. Again, the course is going to be 6 weeks. It's 2 hours a night, so that's 12 hours total in this course. But I need to know if you are ready to dig in and learn to manage your servers like a pro, then you want to sign up for this course. This course is going to be Windows Server 2012 R2. So, like I said, an email went out today, and I'll tell you right now, the base price I'm looking at right now is $500 per student. We're going to take a maximum of 15 students. I don't want any more than that, because then it starts to get too crowded, and it would be like being at a conference where you're trying to say something to the keynote speaker. I don't want it like that. I want it to be very interactive. So I don't want to scare you away, but I would tell you it is $500. And after the first course, after the first time we're doing this, I'm planning on taking 2 weeks off, and then we'll do another 6-week course. So we'll be rolling this course over and over and over. After the initial course, it's going up to $1,000. So just to let you know, because this is, you know, almost like a trade school, like if you see a 2-year college, it's going to be on that level. So, you know, you got to charge based on that level. So that's why that course is at that price. If you're looking for online courses, of course, my online courses are available. If you go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com and click on the course link at the top, the online classes, you can go in there and sign up for one of those. And they are a lot less expensive. But those are pre-recorded. There's a quiz, and the content's all there. So maybe you want to go that route instead. If you have time, check out our website here at tipsfromserveroom.com where you can comment on these shows. You can also leave me a voice message at 724-701-0550. For those of you listening to the podcast, you go, man, this is kind of cool. Wonder what this guy looks like. Well, you can do that now because we're doing these in live and in living color. And these are up on YouTube. So if you go to 42 Technoman, the number 4, the number 2, Technoman is what you're searching for on YouTube. Please subscribe to that channel. And I made up a playlist so you can follow along with these shows if you like watching the podcast being created. And a lot of you do. I've had a lot of very positive responses from the videos. And I have a lot of you out there watching the videos. And thank you so much for watching, downloading, listening, subscribing to these shows. That is very important to a podcaster. Because I said before, if we talk all night and we're not reaching anybody, it's just like talking to myself, right? So I don't want to do that. So I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that so many of you are downloading this show as a podcast. Folks, the numbers have been staggering, and I do appreciate that. We, you know, all podcasters are number people. We like to see our shows reaching people out there. It was once told to me, if your show reaches 50 people, then that's 50 people you didn't talk to before. You know, so it makes sense. So I hope that the shows are doing well for you. I hope you're learning each week, and I think it's very important that we share information. And as networking specialists, administrators, or that guy and the girl in the office is the accidental techie, paying it forward is extremely important. You got to pay this stuff forward. If you have any questions or ideas for future shows, I would love to hear from you. To say, Jack, you know, I want to learn about, you know, something. Active Directory, OUs. I want to learn about network security, something like that. You can definitely email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter as @technoman. That is the easiest way to find out when I post that new show on YouTube. You get that email blurt and it'll say, hey, I mean that Twitter blurt goes out that says a new show is available. Last week, I started a new segment of the show called The Tool of the Week. So I try to find free tools or any tools that's coming up this, you know, for the week. Something that can help you, you know, better manage your servers. Last week we talked about the password reset program. It's a great little program that you can put on your desktop and you don't have to worry about logging into Active Directory and remoting into that server every time you want to change a password. Extremely nice. Our tool this week is coming to you via a voicemail that I received from Martin. And Martin is from The Geeksters. And if you remember a while back, The Geeksters actually interviewed me and we had a great, great interview. It was a wonderful show. Now, I have to give Martin credit for this voicemail and his dedication for sharing information. He sent this on his cell phone during a band competition. I guess he has kids in the band. I mean, we used to also have kids in the band. And he was at a band competition. So you're going to hear the band in the background a little bit, but that's okay. The message still comes through. And instead of reading it as an email, I'd rather you hear it straight from Martin. So here's Martin on our Tool of the Week.
Hey, Jack. This is Martin Abando, host of The Geeksters. You had asked for some tips and tricks and some of the tools that we use. I want to bring up a tool. It's called User Profile Wizard. It's from Forensit IT. That's Forensit.com. What this tool does is it allows you to move profiles within or out of an Active Directory or a domain. So, for example, you have a user who builds up a computer, they're logging into it, they're running their database, their applications, their email, everything like that on their database, on their profile, and then you create a domain. Now, when you join that computer, the domain, of course, the user's going to get a new profile. This application will actually allow you to copy the profile over without any changes after the domain's created, after you've joined the computer to the domain, or even before you've joined the computer to the domain. The application itself will join the computer to the domain. And then it makes it really nice. The only passwords that the user then has to recreate are things like when you open up email, it's going to ask you for a password and a couple other applications. But User Profile Wizard from Forensit, Forensit.com. Thanks, Jack.
Hey, and thank you very much, Martin, you know, for being a friend of the show there and for bringing your tips and your tricks over here to Tips from the Server Room. We do appreciate that. The only thing that Martin didn't say, and I didn't investigate the site just yet, is if it's a free tool or not. He didn't really mention that, so I don't know if this is a free tool of the week or if it's a commercial tool, but it's something that you want to check out. It sounds like a really great way to handle user profiles. And again, thanks, Martin, very much. Friends, tonight, I think I will talk to you a little bit about thin clients and server-based computing, as I'm sure the title always gives it away on these shows, because that's what I'm going to title the show tonight is Thin Clients and Server-Based Computing. Now, with that said, we're talking about what is thin clients, what is server-based computing. And friends, I typed up so many notes tonight, I hope I can get through them all. In today's computing world, we are seeing a lot of workstation users who do not need a full desktop computer as their workstation. We have seen over the past few years that first we virtualized our servers, and now more and more companies are virtualizing their desktops. Now, if you've never used a virtualized desktop, try setting it up on your computer. All you have to do is take your server and turn on remote desktop, remote desktop. So if you turn it on and give yourself privileges, there is a couple words of caution for this, and I think we talked about this a long while ago. RDP, or Remote Desktop Protocol, allows you to have two simultaneous users connected to it out of the box. Those are set up for you and another administrator in your company. Or let's just say two simultaneous logons if you're both administrators of the domain. So you can both log on to there and do different work. Now, if you want to set this up and you want to use the following stuff we're going to be talking about tonight, what you need to do is you need to contact Microsoft and you need to buy some client access licenses, or CALs, C-A-Ls. And you want to buy those terminal server licenses, or RDP. They kind of renamed it Remote Desktop Protocol. It used to be terminal server. And what you want to do is buy as many concurrent connected licenses as you think you're going to need. Now, let's talk about that one more minute. Buy as many concurrently connected licenses as you might need. What I'm talking about there is if you have a staff of 20 people, but only 5 people are going to be logged into this remote desktop at one time, and you know we'll never go over 5 simultaneous users, you only need to buy 5 licenses. So many people say, well, I need to buy it based on how many users I have. That's not true. It's concurrent connected users. I know because we use this every day of the week, and I know how it's licensed. So it's concurrent connected users. Now, you know, it's kind of like when I owned my internet service. Years ago, I owned the dial-up internet service. That's kind of where I got my start in computers. Well, not really, but that's where I got my bulk of my networking knowledge, right? Because I had to build a network. I had to figure out how to hook multiple serial modems up to one computer. And it was a great learning experience. Now, in that, this works kind of the same way because we kind of gauged our busy signals based on our number of users. There's no internet provider out there in the world that runs a dial-up internet service that has one-to-one. So in other words, if I have 100 customers, I'm not going to have 100 modems and 100 phone lines. It's just not going to happen. We were on the cutting edge because our nearest local competitor was doing 10-to-1. What that means is for every one modem, they would have 10 users. And people were coming to us saying, you know, they always have busy signals over there and it really stinks. So we decided that we're going to run our network as a 5-to-1. Yes, it cost us more money, but it gained us a whole lot of respect and it gained us a whole lot of business. Why am I telling you about this? Very simple. If you're buying your concurrent connections and you have a staff of 20 and you know 5 are going to connect, buy 7, buy 8. Because then if that other person wants to get on, you don't want that user experience to be like, you are denied because you don't have enough client access licenses. You know, it's not going to cost you much more for 8 or 10. So, you know, we try to buy ours in bulks of 10, but we may have, you know, 50 concurrent connections at one time. So be careful when you're buying those and make sure you set those up properly. Now, with that said, we also have better management by worrying about one server rather than 100 or so workstations, whatever you have. If you have 10 workstations, I would still rather only worry about one server. Why is this? This is because installing in updates on all those workstations take time, and it's also because installing software takes time. It becomes one of those daunting tasks that we have to do as administrators. You know, can you come out and install this application, this whatever it is, Office or, you know, Photoshop maybe. You have a drafting lab and you have to install CAD. It takes a large amount of time out of your daily routines that you have to do as a systems administrator to install applications, right? You don't want to give the users permission to install applications because then you have to give them local admin rights, and we don't want to get into all that mess because then they start doing silly things like putting spyware and viruses on their computer. Bad idea. So we go out and we install it. Now, with that said, I was hit one time when I brought this up and I started to talk about, you know, using thin clients and server-based, you know, servers to serve up the desktops. I said I was put in there. I had thoughts, or somebody had thoughts of me putting all my eggs in one basket. Now, if you think about that for a minute, all your eggs in one basket. So what happens is, I was asked, once a server goes down, then everyone is now not working. And that's very, very true. You know, because if that server goes down, all your desktops are going with it, and now everybody becomes file clerks. Right, they're going to file stuff in all day. They're going to sketch pictures or whatever they do. But what I returned with was, I started thinking about this. I went back to the drawing board and I started drawing everything out. And the more I thought about it, the more I ran it around through my head, I realized one thing. I realized that everyone's files are on the server. So if we lose a server, then everyone's down anyway. And we've been doing that for years. You probably have a file server. So it's no different than if I lose my file server, everybody's down. Or if I lose my desktop server, everybody's down. It's not a big difference the way it's working today. And folks, today servers are more reliable than they've ever been. They have more redundancy than they've ever had. So setting this stuff up and having this redundancy on your servers makes this an absolute no-brainer. You're going to save a ton of money. And you can sell it just by telling people how much electricity you're going to save off of having all those workstations running on the desktops. Now, so how, let me see here, I wrote this. So what would be the best case so you don't have to put all your eggs in one basket? So when I sat back in my office and I got a piece of paper out and a pencil, yes, I do that. Sometimes I get a piece of paper out and a pencil. And I use a pencil because I like to be able to erase. Old schooled. I know. But I sat down and I started drawing it out. I started drawing, plotting out, like, how can I make this better? How can I make this more solid where if something happens, this would happen? So I started drawing out my diagram and saying, look, we need to look at this and we need to start playing around with ideas of what if this happens. So we came up with this. I would say to put either 2, 3, or maybe even 4 back-end RDP servers in your network. You're still saving a ton of money. I know you're saying, Jack, these servers are going to cost us a ton of cash. You know, you don't have to have $10,000 servers to run this stuff, folks. You can have a, you know, $1,000 server and have 4 of them. This way you have 4 physical boxes. If one goes down, your users can just simply connect to the next one and keep right on moving with their work. So it's very important to have some backup servers for this system. If you can't afford it to begin with, don't worry about it. Start moving to that route and then work into having the extra servers later on down the road. Now, here's some thoughts I wrote down for tonight's show. I'm sitting here thinking more about this. One thing I would tell you to do is do not, and a lot of guys do this. When I go out and do consulting work, so many people have this set up in their server racks. They'll have one physical box, and they'll have their 4 RDP servers running as virtual servers on that one physical box. Well, here's what happens. If the one physical hardware goes down, we lose all of the RDP servers. Not a great idea. It's a great idea for us being a technology. If we say, look, we're saving money, we're saving space, we're getting the maximum utilization out of our servers. But it's not the best idea, and the reason it's not the best idea, because if the physical box goes down, you're going to lose all of those servers. What I would do, as I was sketching this out and looking at my paper, I thought, well, this is what I want to do. because servers are so reliable, because there's so much redundancy in my servers, I think what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to have two physical boxes with two virtual servers each. That way, if I lose one physical box, I still have two virtual servers running, right? And those could be my two RDP servers. So I still have redundancy, but I don't have all that physical hardware in my rack. I don't like physical hardware in your rack. The more and more you put in the rack, the more chance you have for breakage. You know, I mean, I know we have to have some stuff in there. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, even last week, about buying servers and using used servers. We want to separate out different services on different servers, and it's been that way for years, folks, and it's no different today, because we don't want the utilization going over 100%. And if you can keep it under 70%, then you're really doing something. Most of our servers today run under 50% utilization, and I did that by design. That's the way I want it to run, because I know it's maximum efficiency if it's running under 50%. I don't have to worry about the fans running, heating up, overheating, doing whatever it's doing. And my user experience is A1. That's what I shoot for, is user experience. Now, so I started looking around actually a couple weeks ago when I started writing this stuff down and started playing around with it. I was looking around for a solution to allow my users to connect to an RDP session without allowing them to boot to a full version of Windows on the desktop. The idea is, when you boot to the full Windows version on the desktop, people know how to play with Windows. People have Windows at home. They know how to click around and change their desktop and do all this fancy little stuff, if you give them the permissions on the policies. Okay, I understand that. But we don't want them on the desktop. So to tell them to boot to the Windows and bring up, you know, the remote desktop connection, type the IP address in or computer name, and log in every morning, chances are that's probably not going to happen. So I found a cool little tool. This probably could be even under one of our free tools. It is called ThinStation. Now, ThinStation, and I think somebody told me a few weeks ago, Jack, you need to show your desktop when you do these shows. So if you are watching the YouTube video, you'll see now that you are seeing my desktop. For those in the radio audience there, I am actually showing the actual website for ThinStation. If you're listening to audio podcast, you're like, wait, I can't see it. There's going to be a link in the show notes, and then, you know, you'll have it. So what we're talking about here, and I'm going to try to raise this up a little bit here so I can read it. I'm going to read to you a little bit about ThinStation. Let me just look at my show notes here real quick and make sure I got this under here. Oh, let me first talk about, there's going to be a show link in the show note. We played with the live CD, and it works like a charm. It allows you to connect your RDP server without having any other apps on the computer. So once you install this onto a hard drive, the machine will boot directly into a smaller OS. This will allow you to even use older desktops as thin clients. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the website here, and I'm going to tell you exactly what the website says. Now this was written, it's free. Obviously, I said that already, it's free. You can download the live CD right off the website. So if you go to the show notes for this particular podcast or for this episode, you can actually download their software. ThinStation is a basic and small, yet very powerful, open source thin client operating system supporting all major connectivity protocols: Citrix ICA, Gnome Machine NX, 2X Thin Client, Microsoft Windows Terminal Server RDP via R Desktop, the VMware Horizon View, Cendio, it's Cendio, Thin Link, and Transtilla X, Telnet, TN5250, VMS Terminal, and SSH. ThinStation is mainly intended for either schoolroom, offices, companies, or department use, but can be used at home if you want to put a little a silent running PC. It talks about putting silent running PC running Windows X workstation in your back room. While ThinStation is based on Linux, users may actually never see Linux at all. If you decide to connect directly to a Microsoft Windows, Citrix, or Unix server, the user will feel that they are running directly on the server. But you can have a local desktop interface with a local browser and other tools. ThinStation supports a Microsoft Windows-only environment and requires no Unix or Linux knowledge. So, you know, don't run away thinking, Jack, I don't know Linux. I don't even like Linux. It's a mess. It has its place in the world, folks, and this is a wonderful tool, and it's very, very easy to use. ThinStation runs on an ordinary PC, 32-bit or 64-bit, i686 class. You may either reuse older computers and save a lot of time on workstation administration, or both. An old Pentium 2 with 128 megs of RAM, megs, not gigs, 128 megs of RAM, or better, can be a perfectly useful workstation. And you don't need a hard disk. Remember, they can't boot into the computer if they don't have a hard disk. You can boot off the network or even have a silent workstation. Workstation devices, floppies, hard drives, CD, or even booting from a USB, and printers, LTP, and USB are supported. ThinStation can be booted from a network, diskless, using Ethernet, PXE, Pixie, right, PXE, or from a local floppy, CD, hard drive, or flash drive. And built-in images and a live CD are available. The thin client configuration can be local or centralized by simplifying management. So this has everything you're going to need in it. Bring me back up here. Okay, so it has everything you're going to need in it, and it just works extremely well. So, like I said, we tested it out, and it was just amazing. Now, I can tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. When you're booting from a CD-ROM drive, we fired it off. I actually burned it onto a DVD. It's very small, but that's what I had available. I burned it onto a DVD, and then I used Power ISO to burn my ISOs onto my disks. So I burned it onto the disk, and what happened was, we booted up. It does take a little bit of time to boot all the libraries and stuff, you know, to Linux. I haven't tested yet on a flash drive, but I would think that solid-state drives would be so much faster to boot this thing with. And the next thing we're looking at is we're going to try to rewrite some of the code so it just boots up to the RDP interface. So that'll come up. We did learn once you put your server name in there, it does stay in there every time. It does not require a password to load until they go into their remote session, because when they get onto the server, then obviously you need your credentials to log into that server. So it's just, I can't tell you how excited I was. I wish I would have had some video to share with you of this, and maybe I'll figure out how to shoot some video of it to show you how it works, but it was just totally amazing, blew me away. Really, really great little program. And most of all, it's free. Now, there's many companies in the world out there of technology who will sell you a box or terminal that will allow your users to connect to a server using RDP. The two that I'm familiar with, okay, there's hundreds of thousands of these things out there. The two that I'm actually familiar with is End Computing and Wyse, W-Y-S-E. End Computing uses their own software. It's a proprietary software that you put on your server, and this will allow your users to connect into the server using a small box on their end. So if you want to look at it, look at endcomputing.com, and you can check them out. I mean, it's a great company. Their support is amazing. Obviously, they're not sponsoring the show. I never even talked to them about that. I try to tell you guys about stuff that I used and that I understand how to use, and that I know that works, and it works every day, and it works very well. The one you're looking for the server-based is called the L Series, and if you want to hook multiple desktop clients up to one desktop, that's called the X Series, and I think they're actually, from the last time I talked to them, guys, they're phasing out the X Series because not a whole lot of people are buying them anymore. Everybody's going with the L Series, and they're using the remote desktop clients to kind of handle all that, or their software. Now, the box allows you to connect a keyboard, a mouse, and a monitor to it. There's also a couple USB ports on it, and their software allows you to set up individual flash drives. And what happens is when somebody plugs their flash drive in, it links back. So when they're saving files or copying files, it will link back to their server-based drive. So, they kind of thought of everything, and I haven't really found anything that it won't do. Even audio, it does audio. It'll do full motion video as long as your server is powerful enough based on your users. And the thing nice about End Computing, if you call their engineering staff, yeah, you can talk to their engineering staff, and yet you can understand them because, you know, sometimes engineers are pretty far out there. They are down-to-earth people. They will tell you, look, how many people do you want to connect? What kind of distances? Are you running over Ethernet, fiber? Do you have gigabyte connections to all the clients? And they'll say, this is the kind of server you need. These are the specs. They'll even email you. They'll type it up and email it to you, and you can order your server. It can't get much easier. Now, the next one I'm going to tell you about, I've used it in a couple clients because they had them. So I kind of had to learn it on the fly. I never seen them before. Well, I've seen them, but I've never touched one. And that's the WISE. It's W-Y-S-E. It's WISE. Takes another approach, and it connects your users directly to the server using straight RDP sessions. So when you boot this thing up, it comes up, and you set up in the box. The box has like for better lack of terminology, a BIOS. And there's a preset commands in there. And what you can do is you set it up. You tell, you know, you as the administrator log into this little box, and you simply tell it where the server is, what the IP address it to the server is, or the name. You can give it all, you can hard code an IP address into it if you want to. You don't have to, it'll pick up DHCP and work fine. And your DNS server, you put that in there, and that's just to resolve the names. It boots up very extremely fast. I mean, as soon as you turn, by the time you turn the monitor on, it's on the screen, ready to go. You click on login. It opens the RDP session up, the user logs in, and they don't know any difference if they're working on a local workstation. Many people see these boxes, they say, Jack, how'd they pack all that computer power in this little box? And I'm like, you know, they're magic. The Keebler elves did it. But you get the idea. So they pack all this stuff into this little box, but all it is really is like the biggest thing with the End Computer is I always wondered, how do they drive the video through the network cable? Right, I understand the RDP session because the whole thing is kind of on the server and you're kind of looking at the server, but the End Computer has a way of driving the video signals back to them boxes, and that box is actually transcoding some of the video because that's how they do full screen, full motion video. So it's pretty cool. So the WISE is definitely a great box. Myself and my partner looked at them the other day, and we were digging around trying to figure out some stuff that we're going to be doing soon. Some of the prices, there's one called a Zero Client. The Zero Client on Amazon was about, I'm going to say about $60. But then they have the bigger ones that I used for my client, and they run somewhere around $200. So you got to weigh this stuff out, you know, and figure out, is that a good thing to buy? So me with, you know, my little bit of wisdom that I have that I share with you folks each week, I started thinking, I started sitting with my partner, we're talking because we draw things out. This is the time of year we're physically getting ready for, you know, what we're planning on doing for the next year with our company. And we start deciding on what we want to buy, what we want to approach to buy, what we want to tell people we want, because we have to gain the money and the resources, just like you do in your company, right? You kind of make an idea of what you want to buy, and then you go to the powers to be, and you ask them and try to explain it to them and say, look, this is why we want to do this. And then they come back and say, here's the money, because the money is what we need. So I don't know if you've ever seen these or not. Most of you may have because you're in the business. It's called Raspberry Pi. Now, I was introduced to Raspberry Pi somewhere down the road, and I told my wife I was going to buy one, and she gave me the green light. She's like, well, buy whatever, because, you know, especially if I'm doing it for the show, I need to learn this stuff, right? We need to have more knowledge. But Raspberry Pi, and, you know, when I talk about this thing, I'm going to try to bring up, I'm going to bring up my screen again here. So if you watch the YouTube video, I'm bringing up Amazon, and we're going to look for Raspberry Pi on Amazon. Of course, you have to spell it right when you look it up here. Raspberry Pi. It's P-I, not P-I-E. And what Raspberry Pi here is just a little, a small little computer. You can see it on a screen here if you're watching the YouTube video. But it's a circuit board. And on the circuit board itself, it has... So on the circuit board, what it has an Ethernet connection. It has four USB connections. It has a place for a memory card. So you put an SD card in. And then it has HDMI out. And it has audio on board. So it has all this stuff on here. So I was talking to my partner and we're just kicking it around. This thing, this base model is $37. Now the one I was looking at, you know, because I always do something a little bit higher. The one I was looking at has the case and everything. It's called the Ultimate Starting Kit. And what it has a case, the motherboard. It comes with a micro SD card. It comes with a wireless adapter and a power cable. And it comes with all the other little cables you're going to need, diodes, electrodes, whatever else you're going to need there for it. But for $70, you can put this thing together and it just, it could work, right? I want to put it together and I want to put on it the, bring my notes back up here. I want to put on it the, what do you call that? the thin station. That's what I want to put on it. I thought, can we put the thin station on it, mount these little Raspberry Pi kits, I mean these very small kits, mount those in the back of the monitor, and the only thing I'm kind of kicking around about, most of our monitors don't have HDMI in or out or whatever, no, in. They don't have HDMI on them. Now, a lot of our new projectors do that we use, but not the monitors. So I'm going to have to see if there's an adapter for Raspberry Pi. Maybe some of you out there know, you can call the number there, 724-701-0550. And let me know or hear from you and say, oh, Jack, they make an adapter where you can connect it to HDMI to VGA. That can help me out because we have a lot of VGA monitors, and I'm not prepared to get rid of those yet because they still work very, very well. So it's something that I'm kicking around. Again, it's a Raspberry Pi. I'm also kicking around about taking one of these things and building something in my car so my car will be more computerized. So, yeah, I do think of this stuff all the time. Matter of fact, when Martin, a long time ago when he interviewed me, we talked and he said that my brain is not normal, I think he said, because I think wide. I think that's what he's talking. I think all the time I think very large. I think ways of doing things that's not normal. And, you know, of course, that's one thing I enjoy about myself, and that's why I bring these shows to you, because I told you, I said, I want to take these shows, and I want to bring this kind of show or a computer-based show to the local radio station, so go from podcasting even wider to radio stations, so it's just something I'm kicking around. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, but I thought with that SD card, with that mini SD card, this thing's going to be amazingly fast to boot, right? It's going to fire right up on that program. Especially if we rewrite this code. And if you rewrite it, if you're somebody out there and you're really good with Linux and you're really good with operating systems and you kind of reconfigure that code so it boots to that RDP little login, let me know because I'd like to get your copy. That would save me a ton of time rewriting that. But anyway, I think it would work. So it's Raspberry Pi. Check that out. Don't steal my idea and go off and make billions of dollars because then I'll have to say, wait, patent infringement. But, you know, it's a thought, so we'll see how that works. We're going to make our own thin client. Now, here's another thought for you. With the world moving more, we just heard this last week, to online applications, and more computer being done on the server, it only makes sense for you to begin moving your users from a world of desktops to a world of server-based desktops, or RDPs. We see this so much. We've been seeing it for years, and I actually wrote a couple applications that we used to use, and I wrote those in PHP and MySQL. So I created a web-based application, right? So everything runs on the server. The user's only seeing, you know, an interactive web page where they put in figures or whatever they're doing with this stuff. But so many companies out there are doing this, and so many companies are moving to this, and they're not using their workstations. Why is this good for us being a technologist? Because it's getting to the point where you can use any operating system you want on the desktop as long as it supports a couple key elements. The two big ones I can think of is Java and Flash. If you can support those two elements, Especially now that people moved away from Microsoft. Remember, Microsoft used to do all this, all the programming language that they did, the ASP.NET. I used to write a lot of stuff in that. But most of that is will run on Internet Explorer. And I know most companies and most of you out there don't like allowing your users to run Internet Explorer. I ran into that today. A user said, oh, Jack, I need Flash installed. I was like, well, why don't you open Chrome? Because it's always updated and everything, all the plugins are there. We did. It worked great. So that's why we try to stay away from Internet Explorer. The last note I had for you here, even backups become easier by allowing you to only back up and worry about the server side of things. How many times, and it's happened to us millions of times, did somebody call you up and say, hey, my workstation didn't turn on. I can't get it to work. It won't boot up. The light don't even come on. I don't know. You go out and you determine, sure enough, that the computer died. You might get lucky. It might be a power supply. You know, thank goodness. But wonder if it's a power supply or power surge, and it wipes out their hard drive, and it just destroys the computer. Right? The computer is one thing. If I can pull a hard drive, I can get your data. And maybe one week I'll show you the little system that I bought that is extraordinarily easy to pull data from. We might have to learn that together. So I can usually get the data if I can get the hard drive. But what if you can't? And then you say, well, don't worry. All your stuff's on the server. It's all backed up. Oh, no, Jack. I never really knew how to do that. I always kept everything on that desktop because it was so easy to retrieve and use. Oh, what I tell them is, well, you know, we warned you about that. I try to be as nice and as diplomatic as I can when, you know, I'm flaming underneath my head. But you say, look, we tried to tell you not to do that, but you did it. And I'm sorry, but all your stuff that you've created over the past 10 years is all gone. And there's nothing we can do about it because we don't back up the desktop. I know some companies do, but you know what? Wow. Bless you guys, because you know what? You are on the top of the food chain. The food chain? The top of the pay grade. You're the top of something for doing all that extra work. That's just amazing. And, I don't back up desktops. I just don't do that. I mean, I tell my users, if you're going to, you know, I don't advise you to. But if they do, they actually put it onto their actual thumb drives. So hopefully you got a little bit out of the show tonight. As I was typing this up, and then I went down and had dinner with my wife, and she said, well, what kind of show are you doing tonight? You know, and we talk a little bit about it. She's like, well, that's nice, dear. You know, because if it's like your spouse, you know, they're not really tech-oriented. My wife uses tech every day in her job, but she's one of those people that she don't care how it works as long as it turns on and she can do her job. I'm the same with my car. If I go out and I turn the key and it starts, I can go to work. If not, I call the mechanic because I don't care what's under the hood. I know there's an engine under there, but I don't care how it works. But I hope you learned something today. And I told her, I said, I think I typed up a really solid show. You know, some of the past shows, we went step by step over stuff. I've used other people's websites and their thoughts. Last week's show and this week's show, buying servers and now actually all this stuff about thin clients, all came out of this little brain of mine. So coming to you. So hopefully you've gained some knowledge tonight. Hopefully you share these podcasts. Don't forget to download that Stitcher app. I think that's a pretty cool app. And I was telling my partner the other day something about this new program. He said, oh, did you ever get on Stitcher? It's funny because that's exactly where the show was going. It was going to be now carried by Stitcher. And I think I'm pulling back from the other program I was using, the live stream, the Spreaker thing. You know, because it costs, you know, $40 like a year, and that doesn't sound like a lot of money. But there's not a whole lot of listeners on Spreaker. So I'm kind of pulling back from that. I'm not doing the live shows there anymore. I'd rather do them on YouTube. I know you folks, there's more viewers on YouTube than there's listeners on Spreaker. And if you want to listen to the audio podcast, I'd rather just download it from iTunes or from the website at tipsfromaserverroom.com. You can use that RSS feed, whichever one you want to use. Doesn't matter to me. So folks, I want to talk to you a little bit here about my Amazon link. If you buy anything from Amazon, please use my link at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. You can click on the link, and it takes you into Amazon, and you guys know how it works. You've heard this pitch a billion times. If you buy anything, it doesn't cost you anything extra. So when you're going to buy your Raspberry Pi or your Wise boxes, use my Amazon link and then go out to Amazon and then place your order for 500 of these devices and get these orders flowing. A small portion comes back to the show, and that helps. I mean, it helps. I just had to recently take this show, my web hosting package. I ran out of space finally. I was telling my wife, I wondered when, because I had like a basic home package. I said, I wonder when I'm going to run out of space. Well, I did. I was uploading a show about a month ago, and it stopped in the middle of the upload. And I'm like, wow, what happened? So I went to the website, and I deleted a bunch of old podcasts I don't do anymore and a bunch of stuff that, you know, I just quit working on. When I did that, the show uploaded. I thought, okay, I must have been out of space. So now I have to pay for an unlimited hosting package. So that does cost a little bit more. So that kind of support from Amazon, from that little link, it helps immensely to the cause here. And folks, I told you earlier about the live course, but still remember these online courses that are pre-recorded. You can take them anytime you want. There's a ton of people in these courses, and you know they're all doing extremely well. It's either Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012 R2, or VMware ESX 5.5 Server. And this is from A to Z, from installing it to administrating. I mean, we talk about everything, you know, and if you need a list, a lot of people email me and say, Jack, do you have a list of these, what's in this course? I do. I have a PDF, and I email that out to you. It used to be on the website until I found people trying to imitate my courses, and they were taking the same type of classes I had and creating their own and saying, hey, this is a server course. It's $25. Well, if you pay $25 for a server course, well, good luck. I don't know what you're getting. And this course is not $5,000. It's not $20,000. You know, it's very, very modestly priced. I've actually had people tell me that my courses were too cheap. I said, well, then I'll charge you more. They didn't want to hear that either. But the reason I did that is because I do work, you know, I work full time in this business, and the courses I created to kind of pay it forward, you know, and I do have to pay for the hosting and the course fees and everything that I have to maintain. But that's why I charge a little bit for them. But I tell you what, you can take them. You can find them at tipsontheserverroom.com. Look for the online class link at the top. Click the pull down menu and sign up for one of those courses. There's new people in there every week. The courses are very much ongoing. They're always ready, and they're always available to you. I had an email once that said, Jack, well, if I sign up, when can I start? Do you start next week, next month? It's not going to be like the live courses. These courses are pre-recorded. So when you sign up, if it's 4 in the morning and I'm sleeping away, all snug in the bed, you can start taking your course. It's right there, ready to go. You can finish it in a month, or I've had a couple people in there for about a year now. So, you know, they're just gradually watching the videos when they need them, and they're learning. So it's up to you. And also, I know, I get emails every week, Jack, I can watch this stuff on YouTube. YouTube is not structured. You know, you can find it. You can say, I want to know DNS, or I want to know DHCP, or I want to know Active Directory. But there's no structure. This is a structured course from step 1, 2, 3, promoting the server, DNS. Everything's structured through the course. That's why you want to take it this way. So once again, check that out. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I'm just going to tell you about it. Folks, I hope you have a great work week this week. Again, I'm very humbled that you come here and you hang out with me. You listen to the shows. I wish more of you. Martin's been a very big contributor to the show, and I always appreciate that. I know you're out there listening. Contribute to the show. Let me hear from you. I mean, you know, send in a voicemail. And if you don't want to play it on the air, say, Jack, listen to this, and I'll take some notes and I'll read it, you know, if you want me to do that. But I always say we all have a voice for radio, right? Hey, I'm on YouTube, and believe me, I have a voice for radio. I don't have a voice for video. I don't have the face for video. My beard occasionally gets kind of gray, and my hair is getting gray, but I'm here. People like to watch you do a podcast, so I'm here. And I did show some screenshots, so it should make the one gentleman happy that said, you know, when you're doing a video, you should show your screenshots. So now I got a little bit of editing to do in my video, but I'll put that together and work that out for you. Again, my friends, thank you so much for joining me here, and I will see you back here next Tuesday night for another Tips from the Server Room. Bye for now. Take care. See you then. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.